Chapter 12. After days of wonderful, dreamless sleep upon the bed and breast of Miss Cheney, Marco called the Daily Press early Monday morning and learned that Raymond was in Washington. He reached Raymond at the press office in Washington a few minutes later. When he told Raymond he wanted very much to see him, Raymond invited him to dinner in New York that evening to help him rate a new cook. Then, remembering, babbled the news. "I just remembered. Your own orderly. Yeah. Remember your orderly in Korea, the little guy who was interpreter on the patrol, Chun-jin? That's my new cook. Huh? I mean, would you ever have been able to anticipate that?" Marco stated that he would not have been able to so anticipate, and inquired as to what time Raymond would arrive from Washington for the tasting. "Estimating the travel time from Penn Station, and I believe you'll find I won't be more than 5 minutes off either way, I should arrive at the apartment at, say, 6:22. Even if you have to wait out in the corner to do it. I wonder if you'd mind calling Chun-jin and telling him there'll be an extra place for dinner. You're probably dying to talk to him anyway. I know you old army guys."
"I'll take care of everything, Raymond," Marco said.
And they both hung up. Raymond opened the door. "Chun-jin isn't here," he said. "There's no dinner to offer you."
"Or you."
"But I did find a note. It's from him, and it says you beat him up and that he's now in St. Luke's Hospital."
"One thing is for sure," Marco said. "There are plenty of sensational delicatessens in this neighborhood."
"Why, that's a marvelous idea," Raymond said. He walked away from the door, allowing Marco to close it or not close it as he chose, and flipped open a telephone book across the square foyer. "I never seem to be able to think of it myself, and I love it. Pastrami, and those pickles, and that crazy rye bread with the aphrodisiacal seeds, and maybe a little marinated herring, and some pot cheese with a little smoked salmon, and some of that indigestible sauerkraut they make out of electric bulb filaments, and some boiled beef." He began to dial. "On account of this, I am absolutely grateful to you for getting Chun-jin out of the way."
"Ah, that's all right," Marco said. "Glad to do it."
The elevator man was singing the blues, so I gave him 5.
"He sure can keep a secret. He just sang a second chorus for me, and I gave him 5.
"What did you hit him for?"
"He was determined to play peacemaker."
"What did you whack Chun-jin for?"
"That's all part of what I came to tell you about."
"Hello, Gitlitz. This is Shaw."
"Right.
Now hear this." Raymond ordered food for 10, as one does when one calls a delicatessen situated anywhere on Broadway in New York between 34th and 96th Streets, and told them where to send it.
"I've been in the hospital off and on quite a bit over the past 2 years."
"Hospital? What was the matter with you?"
Raymond opened a can of beer. The room was fragrant with the smell of furniture polish from Chun-jin's working weekend.
Marco looked very thin, but no longer drawn. The Cheney method of soul massage had elements of greatness. He was dressed in civilian clothes, and his face had a distant, inactive look, such as a man about to practice a banquet speech alone in a hotel room might have. Eugenie Rose had him coked to the gills on tranquilizers. The authority which had come with writing a successful column on national affairs had settled Raymond considerably, Marco thought, and had made him seem taller and broader. Raymond was 30 years old. He could not have moved up the scale to a better tailor, because he had always used the best. He could not have worn whiter linen. His fingernails gleamed, his shoe tips glowed, his color shone, his teeth sparkled. The only fault with the lighting circuit was behind his eyes. Raymond may have believed that his eyes did light up, but unfortunately they could shine only within the extent of his art as a counterfeiter of emotions. Raymond did not feel emotion, and that could not be changed. When he was content, he would try to remember how other people had looked when they had manifested happiness or pleasure or satisfaction, and he would attempt to counterfeit the appearance. It was not effective. Raymond's ability to feel anything resembling either sympathy or empathy was minimal, and that was that. As Raymond listened to Marco's story with all of his attention, he could only understand that an all-out attack had been mounted against his friend, and that it had almost destroyed him. He supposed he would be expected to be upset as they went on to talk about that lousy medal, which had always been a lot of gas to him, tin soldier boy stuff. He had never asked for it, had never wanted it. And if there was some strange way that medal could keep his friend in the army and get him his health back, then they had to make sure that he found out exactly what that was, And if necessary, to straighten this out and keep Ben safe, why, for Christ's sake, he'd even call in Johnny Isolin. He did not say any of this to Marco. He concentrated on trying to counterfeit some of the reactions he felt Marco must expect. "If what you've been dreaming actually happened, Ben," he said slowly, "then it happened to me, and it happened to everyone else on the patrol."
"Such as Chun Jin," Marco replied.
"How about an investigation?" Raymond said. "That ought to do it."
"Ought to do what?"
"Uncover what happened that made you dream all that."
"What kind of an investigation?"
"Well, my mother can always get Johnny Isolin's committee in the Senate to..."
"Johnny Isolin?"
Marco was utterly horrified.
"This is army."
"What has that got to do with..."
"All right, Raymond. I won't explain that part. But what happened is inside my head and Melvin's head, and the best head doctors in this country haven't been able to shake it out and don't have even the first suspicion of what could be causing it."
"What could a Senate committee do? An Isolin?"
"Jesus, Raymond, let's make an agreement never to mention that son of a bitch ever again."
"It was just an idea to get started. I know Johnny is a swine better than you do."
"Then why bring it up?"
"Because we have to dump a thing like this on the specialists. What the hell, Ben, you said so yourself, the Army can't cope with this. What there has to be if we're going to get anywhere with it is a big full-scale investigation. You know, somebody has to make people talk."
"Make who talk?"
"Well,
Yeah.
Well, the patrol. If my Medal of Honor is a fake, and believe me, I don't see how it could be anything else, because it doesn't figure that I'm going to stand up in front of a lot of bullets and be a big hero for that passel of slobs, then somebody has to remember, and somebody else has to make the rest of those guys remember that we've all been had. That's all. We've been had. And if you can't stand the idea of Johnny Isolin, and I don't blame you, then I guess you'll just have to demand your own court-martial."
"How? What do you mean? What are you talking about?"
Marco looked as though he was just beginning to understand what Raymond was talking about. Almost, but not quite. "You have to charge yourself with falsifying your report that led to me getting the Medal of Honor, and you'll have to demand that the Army investigate whether or not that was done in collusion with the men of the patrol. That's all there is to it."